someone made a snide remark. We were preaching somewhere in a conference, he and I, and someone made a snide remark and said that you preached about 30 sermons in one and used about 50 scriptures, as if that was a derogatory statement towards me. And I said, thank you very much. In the church that I grew up in, this church, one thing that my grandfather put in me was use plenty of scripture when you preach. Amen. Because after all, the only thing that can save us is the preaching of the Word of God. Amen. You weren't saved by sermonizing, not by some back-scratching, weak-kneed message, but the only thing that saved you was the preaching of the Word of God. Thank God somebody had enough courage to preach to me. Amen. Thank God somebody loved me enough to preach to me. You know, I look at these preachers, and both of them's about 6'3", Brother Cornwell and Brother Urshan. I think I'd pray through just out of intimidation. Amen. They tower over me. I'm not very short, but I got to look up to them when I look at them. And, you know, if you've got any feelings at all, these men, when they preach, they'll pull them out and stomp on them for you. And if you're not offended by your preacher, chances are he's not preaching out of the Bible. People that complain about being offended by an apostolic preacher makes about as much sense as people reading the dictionary and complaining that there's too many definitions in there. If you never get offended by a man of God, chances are he's not preaching out of the Word of God. But if you can take it, you can make it. And if you learn how to pray, you can stay. If you learn how to fast, you can last. Amen. Thank God for men that can take it tonight. Amen. Hallelujah, Jesus. I'm telling you, I am what I am tonight because somebody had enough guts to preach the Word of God to me without fear and favor. I am what I am tonight, and that same spirit I want in my children, I want in my church. Amen. I don't want some facade or counterfeit move of God. I want the real deal when I come to the house of God. Amen. If you want something else, there's a half a dozen liberal churches that you could go to on this same street. And you could go to these churches and they'd tell you everything's all right with you. And you can leave and go home sick. But when you come to an apostolic church, somebody's going to tell you something's wrong with you. But we're going to give you something that can help you and make you better. Praise the Lord. So, Brother Urshan, we love you and we appreciate you. And we're glad you're with us. Amen. Let's stand across the building tonight and make him feel welcome. Let's give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Brother Urshan from Florida, come and preach to us tonight. God bless you.
Can we lift our hands and worship the Lord right now? Can we just love him all across this place?
I love you, I love you, I love you.
We worship you, Jesus. We give you glory. Almighty God, holy God, we worship you tonight. Thank you for the spirit that we've already felt. Thank you, dear God, for what you're going to do. We worship you, dear God, in spirit and in truth. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Everybody said in Jesus' name. Amen. Doesn't it feel good to be in the house of the Lord tonight? Praise be to God. Well, I don't know if I know what to do about all of these comments and praises. I looked around waiting to see who they were talking about. And I found out they were talking about me. Amen. Folks know, they know who they are. And I know who I am. And I'm not a whole lot without Jesus Christ. Not a whole lot without the Holy Ghost. But through him, I can do all things. Amen. I can make it through him. I can live righteously through him. I can pastor a church through him. Amen. I can live for God when God empowers me to live for God. Praise the Lord. I'm glad to be a part of God's people tonight. And it's wonderful to be with the Spells and with the Cornwell. And if you missed today's session, I don't know what to say except please get the CD. But the Cornwell ministered to us and he spoke to things in, I know in my heart and in many people's heart that we're here and that we're going to listen to the broadcast that will change your life. certain things that can save you from decades of pain and imprisonment.
Yeah.
And today was one of those days. Amen. So thank you, Brother Cuomo, for that. And I count Brother Tony Spell as one of my dearest friends. And he does love the Lord with all of his heart. And I'm glad just to be here with you all and with these great ministries here on this platform. Praise the Lord. Amen. If you have a Bible, why don't we go ahead and jump into the Word of God? I will ask you to turn with me to the book of Romans, chapter 9. And it is wonderful to have my lovely wife and my nephew Rodney Saunders and my boys Joseph and Benjamin. While I pray that I can be a blessing to you in some way, I want my family and my children to be in Holy Ghost environments.
Amen.
I will take them with me. I will do my best to expose them to moves of the Holy Ghost,
yeah,
because we have to make sure our children serve the Lord. Amen. I'll say that again. We have to make sure our children serve the Lord. The Bible said His truth endures to all generations. Amen. There is nothing in this Bible that says our children have to backslide after one or two generations. They have to grow lukewarm or get carnal. They should be stronger the next generation than the generation before.
That's right.
Praise God. Romans chapter 9. And Paul is writing to the Christians at Rome. And I want to begin reading at verse 6. Romans chapter 9, verse 6. If you have it, say amen.
Amen.
Not as though the word of God hath taken none effect. For they are not all Israel which are of Israel. Neither because they are the seed of Abraham are they all children. But in Isaac shall thy seed be called. That is, they which are the children of the flesh, these are not the children of God. But the children of the promise are counted for the seed. Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Tucked into a letter written to a church in Rome lies instruction for us here in the year 2012. We have no greater mandate than to make sure that this truth continues on.
Right.
To preach it, to admonish, to reprove, to rebuke, to exhort. We cannot do that if we know who God's children are. If we make up in our minds that we are going to be children of the Most High.
Come on.
And tonight I want to preach to you for a few moments a subject I will entitle, In Isaac Shall Thy Seed Be Called. In Isaac Shall Thy Seed Be Called. Look at the person next to you. Tell them, I want to be a child of God.
I want to be a child of God.
Amen. Amen. God bless you. You can be seated.
Thank you, Jesus.
It has been said that God does not have any grandchildren. Maybe you've heard that statement. Maybe you have not heard that statement. But it is a true statement. During the course of this week's services, I've spoken to two preachers about the same topic. We discussed who Melchizedek was. And I'm going to tell you that I don't know who Melchizedek was. If you think he was Jesus in the Old Testament, well, okay. You think he was a high priest? Well, okay.
Yeah.
I don't know that I can speak definitively on that. And I'm not going to try. But what I will tell you is that the scripture records him as having neither mother nor father.
Right.
And it said that he had a ministry that was after the power of an endless life.
Yeah.
And the Bible says that he blessed Abraham. And in blessing him, the Bible said the less was blessed of the better. Then he went on to say in the New Testament that Jesus Christ would be a priest for ever after the order of Melchizedek. And so it stands tonight that if you are going to be a child of God, you are going to have to be along the same lines as Melchizedek and, by extension, Jesus Christ.
Right.
The Old Testament was full of genealogies, big lists of who was born to who and where they came from, and the begats. They begat ad nauseum. If you ever need a sleep aid at night, open up to the begats. Right around Genesis 7, 8, and 9, just try to wade through that.
Yeah.
And you'll find yourself peacefully asleep very shortly. And while you might realize that they needed that in the Old Testament to prove lineage, Melchizedek was showing them that I'm going to be a priesthood that springs up without any of that.
Yeah.
Supernaturally sent by Almighty God to bless God's man after he returns from the slaughter of the kings. Jesus Christ is going to operate that same way.
Yeah, yeah.
And so what I'm telling you tonight is that your genealogy in this house only needs to go to Jesus. It doesn't matter who your father is. It doesn't matter who your mother is. Your grandfather or your great-grandfather or so on and so forth. What matters is, are you a child of Jesus Christ? My genealogy goes one step and one step only. Is Jesus my father? Hallelujah. I don't have a nationality for this world. I'm born of Jesus Christ. My citizenship is in heaven. Born of the water and born of the Spirit, baptized in Jesus' name and filled with the sweet gift of the Holy Ghost. My genealogy stops at Jesus. Now, the reason why that's important is because flesh isn't going to win this battle that we're in. Carnality is not going to win the battle that we are fighting. And the Scripture uses birth terms to describe salvation, and it said it like this: flesh and blood shall not inherit. Amen. We can't inherit anything in this apostolic experience that we're enjoying here tonight. You don't inherit worship from your parents. You don't inherit holiness. You don't inherit the oneness of God. You don't get it by osmosis. We don't develop a prayer life by a parent or a grandfather who prayed. We can enjoy the blessings of those prayers, but we don't get it ourselves. We have got to go to the source and say, Jesus, I need the Holy Ghost. Jesus, I need your doctrine. Holy Ghost, empower me. You're going to have to find out what the sweet hour of prayer is all about. You're going to have to find out what kept your father and your grandfather, your mother and your grandfather.
Yeah.
Praise the Lord. This is the way the apostolic experience works. And that matters. That's a big deal. Because Israel's worst enemies were people who never got the revelation that you have to come from the seed of Abraham to be called of God. I want to talk to you tonight about people who were born from Abraham, but not born in Isaac. They had access to God's promises. They knew about God's promises. They enjoyed the counsel of the man of God, but they didn't take it serious like they took it serious in Isaac's family. Isaac's family was a special family. God said that this is going to be the promised one.
Right.
Doesn't matter what anybody else thinks. I'm telling you, my blessing is on the family of Isaac.
Uh-huh.
I'll bless you because you're Abraham's boys, but I'm telling you that in heaven's record book, Isaac's children are the ones counted for the seed.
Uh-huh.
Amen. Now, that's a great news. That's a great message. That's a great feeling for Isaac. But it doesn't make Ishmael too happy. Growing up in the same family, growing up in the environment, it is possible to know how God's message sounds, to see the blessings of God and think they're yours. to get this thing halfway. And in getting it halfway, become the biggest enemies of God that the scripture ever recorded. I got to make up in my mind, I don't want to be half apostolic. I don't want to be half Holy Ghost filled. I don't want to be half. I want to get this thing from the top of my head down to the soles of my feet. I want it all. I don't want a portion. I don't want a selection. I don't want a piece. I want the whole thing. I want to speak in tongues. I want to love the oneness of God. I want to be baptized in His name and not just know the truth, but love the truth. I want to embrace it, confess it, see it afar off. Hallelujah. I didn't come to be half saved. I didn't come to be half holy. I didn't come to be half excited. I came to get it all the way. Hallelujah. Somebody make up in your mind, I'm going to be washed in His blood. I'm going to have His name over me. I'm going to receive the promises of God. Amen. Now the reason why this matters is because it all started with people who got half of God's promises. By choice. There are people that arose out of the lineage of Abraham. And it's easy to enjoy the benefits of Abraham. Everybody likes Abraham's benefits. I'll rebuke your enemies. Your enemies are my enemies. I'll bless them that bless you. I'll curse them that curse you. Wherever your foot falls, I'll give it to you. Everybody wants to be connected to Abraham. But I want to know, are you willing to do what God expects in covenant from Abraham? Because this is a two-way street. This isn't just about blessing. This is about serving the Lord. This is about being His chosen people. And I can't expect Abrahamic promises and not have Abrahamic covenant. Amen. Let me just try to explain what I'm talking about. There were no greater enemies in the scripture to Abraham's kids than half Abraham's kids. They weren't like everybody else. And it's the same reason why backsliders aren't like everybody else. There's a difference between a backslider and a sinner. A sinner is a person who doesn't know God. The Bible calls them aliens from the commonwealth. It calls them strangers from the covenant of promise, without God, without hope in the world. A sinner is a sinner. We can all testify to that. If we have lived in sin, we know what it is to be a sinner. A backslider is different than a sinner in that a backslider has felt the things of God, enjoyed the things of God, found some things of God to be distasteful, or they found something in the world they wanted more, rejected the things of God, and walked away from Abrahamic promise.
Yeah, what happened? Right.
It's a different situation. And maybe I can help to identify it by describing it like this. The Assyrians and the Babylonians were enemies of Israel. They fought against Israel. They conquered Israel. They would be considered the enemies of Israel. However, they weren't backslidden. They were just folks that were conquering everybody in their pathway. They conquered every nation, and Israel was a nation on the map. They were simply on the road to conquest. They came across Israel. God used them as vessels of judgment. Yes, He did. But this was not a personal vendetta against God's people. It wasn't like that, however, with the half children of God. The Bible gives a description. It calls them Moabites. It calls them Ammonites. It calls them Edomites. And so on. Amalekites. These are people who were connected to God's people, but had somewhere along the way rejected them. And while the Assyrians would come, the Babylonians would come in, and they would put the city to the sword, and they would chase them into the hills and take them captive. It was Edomites that stood in the secret places and knew where Israel would go. These were the ones who waited till the Assyrians conquered and then hid at the back door, knowing that Israel had to come there, having insider knowledge. They fought against Israel with a hatred that went beyond simple sin. It went into revenge. It went into hatred. They were saying, since I was rejected, I will cut down and destroy God's people.
Yeah.
What are you talking about all of this for, now, Brother Urshan? Well, I want to try to deliver a message here tonight. There is no better thing than to be a full-blown child of God. There is nothing better than to serve the Lord the way that the scripture described it, with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your strength. Praise the Lord. There's nothing better than serving Him with everything that you have. I want to talk about it because our world needs to understand this message. Let's talk about it for a moment. The Bible describes Lot. He was a relative of Abraham. He enjoyed Abraham's promises. And they had a life together. They kept sheep. They lived in a certain place and they dwelled together. Eventually, Lot got a little bigger than he had been, and he grew restless. You folks know the account. The Bible says he wanted to go out and he wanted to do his own thing. I will say right here at the outset, do not ever leave what has got you to where you are. I can never leave. I can never get so big for my own britches that I can't appreciate what has got me to this point. Amen. I can think I'm smart, but education and intelligence didn't get me where I got. Faith got me to where I am. I can get wealthy and I can get increased with goods, but the wealth that I have is not what got me to where I am. The blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich, and He addeth no sorrow with it. I need to know where the blessing comes from. Amen. We have got to learn to worship and serve the Creator more than we do the creature. So I can't grow so big that I can't hear the voice of Abraham. I don't care who you are and where you come from tonight. You'll never be too proud or too strong or too wealthy to be preached to. You'll never get so smart that you don't need preaching. You'll never get so rich that you don't need preaching. You'll never get so blessed that you don't need preaching. We are saved by preaching. I'll never get too smart to pray. I'll never get too smart to read the Word of God. I'll never get too smart for Acts 2:38. I'll never get so increased that I don't need to fast. These are the things that make God's people who they are. And I can't outgrow. Hallelujah. I'll never get too proud to dance. I'll never get too proud to speak in other tongues. Did you know that? We're going to speak in tongues all the way until we get to the other side. This is what it means to be God's people. And I can't outgrow what got me here. Clap your hands. Raise your hands. Shout unto God. This is what it means to be Abraham's kids. This is what it means to be apostolic. Tongues and interpretation. The spirit of prophecy. Come on. This is what makes a church. Apostolic worship. Running the aisles. Dancing in the spirit. I can't leave that. You can't leave that. I'll never get too big for what makes God's people God's people. I don't care how many years you go to a university. I don't care how sophisticated you get. You can get so dignified that you don't worship God anymore. We can't afford to do that. That's a fast track to hell. Hallelujah. I never want to lose sight of the fact of the outpouring of the Holy Ghost. And the transcendent day of Pentecost when fire fell upon people. When that happens, degrees go out the window. Bank accounts go out the window. Pedigree goes out the window. Pride and arrogance go out the window. Everything submits itself to a move of the Holy Ghost. And I don't ever want to forget that.
Oh, praise God.
Amen.
Lot
got too big for where he was, and he began to wander. He began to leave the area that was blessed. You know the account. The scripture says he wound up in Sodom. He wound up in Gomorrah. And I'm telling you this because this is how we come up with half-children of God. This is how it happens. There will be a generation. They can be good people. They can be moral people. The Bible said that Lot's righteous soul. It didn't call it a wicked soul. It said he had a righteous soul. His righteous soul was vexed daily with their ungodly deeds. There was a righteousness to Lot, but I will call it an ignorant righteousness. Because you can't hang around sin for too long without getting into sin. If I begin to lose the things that made Abraham, Abraham. But when God called Abraham, he said, come out from among them. Be ye separate. I'm going to give you a nation. You're not going to be like the nations of this world. Lot lost the principle of separation. And he went in and he began to live in there. Hey, you may think you can handle things. You may think you're big enough to overcome sin. And you may have enough maturity to stay in an ungodly environment. Hang around this and hang around that. But don't you ever forget that there is a devil out there. There is a predator out there. When God said to separate, he meant to separate. And I don't want to be the ignorant man of God that while I hold my own, my children die.
Come on, preach.
Praise the Lord. Well, what are you talking about, Brother Urshan? Well, let me tell you. The Bible says that God delivered him. God came and spoke to his friend Abraham. And in speaking to him, he said, can I hide this thing from my friend? Told him what he was going to do. Abraham stood in the gap. He made up the hedge. And he stood between God and Sodom and Gomorrah. I want to know if there are people who understand that they are only here because of the prayers of righteous people.
Right.
I wonder how many lukewarm people, how many halfway children of God, people who are enjoying blessings and have no idea that somewhere else there is a pastor that is on their knees saying, God, spare their life. There's a godly mother that is saying, don't let sin destroy my baby. They don't know what they're playing with. They have no idea that those cousins and those family members that they're around, that they are ravenous and they're going to destroy them. God, can you save my baby? Can you send an angel in there, grab a hold of them and say, come out, come out, come out. Can you send the preacher? Can you send them to a strong church? Not a weak church, not a compromising church, not a worldly church. Can you pull them out of the garbage that they're in? Because I'm afraid if they stay there, they're going to die.
Oh, God.
I wonder if they know that there's an Abraham on a hillside standing in the gap. But here he is. The Bible says his righteous soul is vexed. God delivers him, pulls him out. I think that after you've enjoyed God's blessings for a while, it's possible to forget the exceeding wickedness of sin. I think it's possible to lose sight of the ravaging, desperate, no holds barred, destructive effects of sin. Read it. It's in your Bible. The angel said, we need you to come with us now. And Lot went around to gather up his belongings. There are people that are playing around with sin as though it's no big deal. They're playing around with judgment as though it's no big deal. They hear the account of the rapture and the first resurrection, and they just yawn their way through it. They've heard it 1,000 times before. And the Bible says the angels had to lay their hands on him and pull him out. This is not a time to gather up your belongings. You are in sin. You have got to get out. God is making a way right now. I don't want to yawn my way through service. I don't want to just mope through service. I don't want to learn how it works. I don't want to learn to play the game. I don't want to just mosey through my walk with God. I want to run to the house of God. I want to run to worship. I want to run to the altar. I want to praise him with all of my heart. God, deliver me from falling asleep. Deliver me from laziness and lack of discipline. Deliver me from the lukewarm spirit of the half apostolic. I can't be one generation removed. I can't lose sight of what made me who I am. See, Lot wasn't operating as a son of God. He was operating as a relative of Abraham. I'm not related to this thing. I'm born of this thing. I'm not acquainted. I'm not familiar. I'm not casually introduced. I'm not at arm's length. I am in this. I have seen it afar off. I have confessed it. I have embraced it and pulled it close. Is this all right? I'm afraid that there are some people that are wrestling with situations that are half apostolic, and they are thinking that they are apostolic. Well, what do you mean? I don't understand. Well, they left. Lot's wife backslides within the first couple minutes.
Yep.
And his two daughters are there. The Bible says they went into another place.
Right.
And in waiting there, the scripture says that they realized things were bad. They got involved with Abraham, and the scripture says they became with child because of him. With Lot, rather. They became with child by Lot.
Right.
Now, you can skim over that passage of scripture and move past it and think, my God, I'm glad we don't live in the Old Testament. But I want to just stop for a second, and I want to talk about parents that put things in their kids and don't know it. I want to talk about righteous people, good people that plant seed in their children and aren't aware that they're planting that seed. The scripture says that they got him drunken. And it is possible to get so caught up in this world. It is possible to get so wrapped up in this life. It is possible to work a job and spend so many hours and pursue success and ambition. It is possible to be so wrapped up in the living of life that you do not realize that there are things that you are putting into the innocent that are going to destroy you later. People don't mean to do it. They don't plan on losing their kids. They don't plan on not passing on apostolic doctrine. All they have to do is just fall asleep. All they have to do is get drunk on the world. It's not an accident that Peter said, be sober. Be vigilant. I'm telling you, if you ever underestimate the ravages of sin, all you got to do is get bitten by it, and you'll realize sin takes no prisoners. Sin is a ravaging beast. It will take the innocent. It will sneak in the dead of night and grab the innocent and yank it out into the woods. I'm telling you, I can't fall asleep while the devil is prowling. I have got to be sober. I have got to be vigilant. I have got to be the watchman on the wall. I've got to be the shepherd of my family. I've got to be the shepherd of my church. I've got to be full of the Holy Ghost and aware, because there are young ones. There are family members. There's a church that we've got to save. We've got a doctrine to give. We've got a truth to preach. We have a message to contend for. He didn't say contend for it. He said earnestly contend for it. God help me if I ever lose my earnestness, if I ever lose my zeal, if I ever lose what made me apostolic to begin with. All I got to do to plant the seed is miss church. All I got to do to plant the seed is get involved with worldliness. All I got to do to plant the seed in my child, I don't mean to, is just talk bad about a preacher.
Come on.
In my unawareness, I think I'm just talking to my wife. I think I'm just talking to my cousin. But there are little ears in the background. There are little people around. There are others around us that seed is being planted into them. You don't realize that you can impregnate somebody with something that's not of God. I'm telling you how half apostolics are born. Now, half apostolics are more dangerous than others because they want Abraham's promises, but they don't want Abraham's commitment. Don't tell them they're not saved. Don't tell them they're not going to heaven. Oh, no, don't tell them that they're not of God. Who do you think you are? I am a son of Abraham, too. And they'll fight you over that land. Is this okay? I feel the Holy Ghost right now. I feel like the apostolic world has to realize that if we're going to make it in the kingdom of God, we've got to be full-blooded children of Jesus Christ. We have got to have this Acts 2:38 message down in the marrow of our bones. We have got to be the shoutingest, worshipingest, prayingest, studyingest people in the world. We have to know who we are. The Bible says that they that know their God shall be strong and shall do exploits. I have got to get this thing and get a hold of it and know who I am. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. A lot of times folks don't realize what they're doing. They don't mean to do it. Oh, Lot, the Bible says, knew not. He knew not. Some folks wait until the belly starts showing before they figure it out. 7 months later, staggers backwards. My God, what happened? The lack of vigilance, the lack of awareness, the lack of insight can ensure that something happens you didn't mean to happen. Praise the Lord. The Bible talks about the harvest. And it says that one man gave a harvest. And he went out and he sowed seed and he expected that harvest to come up. And then it says that while men slept, an enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat. Praise the Lord. I've got to make sure that I don't fall asleep on what is happening around me. I don't want to miss one blessing. I don't want to miss the predator skulking around the edges of my field. I don't want to miss. Listen, there are things that can be planted in 5 minutes that can wreck the rest of a person's life. Well, I just send them over to my cousin's house because that's family, you know. Well, if your cousins aren't serving God and filled with the Holy Ghost, you better make sure that environment is a good environment, because there's a whole lot that can happen in that environment. There's got to be a shepherd that stands up and says, it's not going to happen on my watch. I'm not going to let them around that influence. I'm not going to let them be. I'm not going to be let them spoiled by bitterness. I'm not going to let them go over there. There's pornography over there. And it's not going to happen on my watch. I've got to transfer this message to the next generation. And I'm not going to lose what God's given me. While men slept, while men slept, while men slept, an enemy came and sowed. I can't afford to fall asleep. Praise God. They didn't even realize. They didn't realize that an enemy had come in. The Bible says that later on when the seed sprouted up, then they noticed. I don't want to wait till it's become an attitude before I figure out they've been hanging around the ungodly. The place to catch them is not when springtime comes and the green sprout of sin is coming out of the ground. That's just when it's obvious. That's when it's outside. That's when it's manifest. That's when it's poked up through the ground. I've got to catch the enemy before he ever gets to my field. Hallelujah. I got to watch what games they're playing. I got to see where they're hanging out. They are not going to watch that television. They are not going to hang around that environment. They are not going to be in that environment. I'm not going to let it happen. There's an enemy. There's an enemy. There's an enemy. Oh my God, where's this attitude coming from? It came from there. You got to see the enemy that's hiding. Seeds planted, seeds scattered. And Lot doesn't get it until they're showing. The problem with it is that when those babies were born, they were born by something planted in them that never should have been. And out of that situation came Moab and Ben-Ami, who became the father of the Ammonites.
Right.
You can go down further down the line and I can show you where Esau forsake the word of God, forsake the covenant of God. And everybody wants to talk about how God changed. He changed Jacob's name to Israel as a prince who have found favor and power with God. You can talk about that, but they overlook over in the corner where he also changed Esau's name.
Yeah, he did.
He changed it to Edom. And the father of the Edomites implanted into. Now, these are people who came from covenant. They came from the blessings of the Lord. These are people who heard the stories. They know how Abraham came out. They know how God delivered. They sat around and heard all about it. There are some apostolics that can sing every song we sang tonight. They can quote the scriptures right along with the preacher while he's quoting them. But when it comes to serving the Lord and living a committed life and not just living for the blessing, but committing themselves to God, they don't live it, because they somewhere along the way they got messed up. Somewhere along the way they did not make the connection with God Himself. Praise the Lord. You'll notice that it happened. When God appeared to Abram, He said, I will be your God. You will be my son. Later on, when He showed up to Isaac, He said, I am the God of Abraham. And I'll be your God too. What He was saying was, Isaac, you can't just be Abraham's boy. You've got to be my boy. You've got to be my son. You've got to lay down the fatherhood of Abraham and pick up my fatherhood. I know he's the father in the flesh, but I am your father. Later on, when Jacob had the dream, God showed up again. He said, I am the God of Abraham and I am the God of Isaac. I want to know, can I be your God too? Will you walk with me the way they did? Will you serve me the way they did? Will you worship the way they did? I'm showing up to you so we can have a one-on-one, no genealogy relationship. Can I bless you like I bless them? Can I walk with you like I walked with them? I'm saying it because there is a way to become the son of Isaac instead of the son of God. People overlook the fact that we use phrases. We'll talk about Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Anybody ever heard that phrase?
Yeah.
Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Folks know Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. It kind of rolls off the tongue because we've said it so much, but they don't know it was supposed to be Abraham, Isaac, and Esau. Abraham, Isaac, and Esau. That's how it should have gone. But it didn't go because a man lost out when it came to Abrahamic promise. The reason why these are more dangerous than anybody else is because they'll still lay claim to Abraham's promises, though they don't live Abraham's life. These are not folks off the street. These are people that know the insider secrets. These are the people that know the mistakes. These are the people that will look for mistakes before they look for blessing. I enjoy what you had to say, Brother Cornwell, because it does depend on what we're looking at. Are you looking at all of the hypocrites and all of the failures? Because if you are, you're not going to have to look too far. There's a whole lot of problems in the flesh. Matter of fact, you don't even have to look at the church. You can look at the Bible. You can see that David committed adultery. You can see that Moses smote the rock. You can see all kinds of mistakes in the Bible. But what are you looking at? You can look at the waves, or you can look at Jesus. You can look at the church, or you can look at the God of the church. I'm not looking for an excuse to backslide, and I'm not looking for an excuse to validate my ungodliness. I'm looking for a reason to worship. I'm looking for a reason to keep on. I'm looking for a reason to have more church. Hallelujah. Judas sought opportunity to betray him. I'm seeking opportunity to worship him. What are you looking for? What are you looking for? Are you looking for somebody to join you in your sin? Or are you looking for somebody to come to the altar? Are you looking for somebody to gossip with and run down the man of God? Or are you looking for somebody to encourage in the Lord? Where did you lose it, Esau? Where did you lose it? I feel the Holy Ghost right now. I think that we always have to stay fresh in our worship. I think that I have to sing these songs like I sing them the first time. I think I have to say to the jaded professional Pentecostal mentality, I'll never be like you. I'm going to worship God with all of my heart. I'm going to love Him more today than I did 10 years ago. I don't want to learn how to play the game. I don't want to learn how to smirk and fold my arms. I want to run to Him. I want to keep the newness and the sweetness and the freshness. Why does this matter? Because you'll never find more treachery towards God's people than from those who were rejected. You can be seated. I'm not done yet. Praise God. The Bible records Ishmael laughing and mocking and joking. It was a mask for his rejection. There's a lot of people that say, people that live for God and people that believe in Acts 2:38, we think we're the only ones. We think we're better than everybody else and we're the only ones going to heaven. Well, you know, we're not trying to look at it in a proud, arrogant way. The truth is that there is an exclusivity to God's people.
Yeah, right.
I've got to come in the straight gate or I can't go. I've got to come through Jesus Christ or I don't go. No man cometh to the Father but by me. It's not an arrogant thing that I'm trying to point out everybody that's not good enough. I'm trying to say it's a narrow gate. It's a straight gate. It's a narrow way. And few there be that find it. I'm trying to preach to everybody. I want you to come into the house of God. I cannot get away from the fact that it has to come through Isaac. I cannot get away from the fact that it has to come through Jesus. I'm sorry. It's not through Esau. It's not through Ishmael. It's not through an alternative. It's not through a compromised path. It is through Isaac or it's nothing. Thing. Praise the Lord. God told Abraham, he said, Abraham, I want you to go to the top of the mountain and I want you to offer your son. And listen, read it. It is in your Bible. Take thy son, thine only son. Hold on a minute, God. You know I have another son. Matter of fact, you said you'd bless him. You said you'd make of him a great people. You said that you'd help him. You know I have another son. What are you talking about this only son business? I'm telling you, there's only one son that registered on the registration of eternity. In the world, in the flesh, there's a son, another son. But in the spirit world, there is no other son. In Isaac shall thy seed be called. When it comes to the cosmic, when it comes to the eternal, when it comes to the infinite, there is no other. There is no other son. There is no other produce. There is no other offspring. This is the only one. So take thine son, thine only. I'm telling you that there is no other way to be born than through that. You can try to have another birth. You can try to have another method. You can try to do it another way. But God only recognizes one way. In Isaac shall thy seed be called. Listen, let me break it down like this. You can accept Christ all day long. You can confess with your mouth and believe in your heart. And you can be born any which way you want to. But there's only one way that God validates in eternity. And that is you must be born of the water and you must be born of the Spirit or you cannot enter into the kingdom of God. I'm telling you there is one way to be born. Those are the sons. Those are the daughters. Those are the children. And I can't compromise that. I can't play with that. I can't. It doesn't mean I'm arrogant. It doesn't mean I think I'm better. It means I'm born of Isaac. I can't be born of Martin Luther. I can't be born of John Calvin. I can't be born of the Wesley brothers. I gotta be born of Jesus Christ. If you are Abraham's seed, then you are Christ's. Baptized in Jesus' name, filled with the Holy Ghost. Now, there's a lot of folks that will mock you. The world of false doctrine and heresy and half-heartedness will point their finger at you and say, you think you're the only child. You think you're the only one. And the bondwoman and her son, all works of the flesh, will mock the child of God. It's no different today than what it was back then. They can mock how we worship. They can make fun of how we worship. They can make fun of our hairdos. And they can sit back with their arms folded and laugh at how sophisticated. Mockery is not a tool of a child of God. The folded arms
and the sneer and the condescension and the arrogance have never been a trademark of God. I'll show you on the day of Pentecost where others mocking said these men are full of new wine. I'll show you where Ishmael mocked Isaac, the child of promise. And I can show you people that will laugh at apostolics and how old-fashioned and how quaint they are. But I'm telling you, when you're a child of promise, nothing else matters. Nothing else matters. His blood washes me. It washes me white as snow. I know Jesus is the Father, and I know Jesus is the Son. I know Jesus is the Holy Ghost. And all these three are one. I'm not going to back away from that. I'm not going to backtrack. I'm not going to hide from that. I'm one of Abraham's boys. I'm in the one God club. I'm in the Jesus name club. You can laugh at me all you want to, but his blood washes me. My conscience has been cleansed. My name is written in the Lamb's book of life. Go ahead and dance. If Jesus is your Father, go ahead and dance. Don't. Michael can sit up in her ivory tower and laugh at you all she wants to, but the Davids of the world dance. Amen. You can be seated. Bishop Spell told me not to go too short tonight. I take him at his word. Half children of God have no problem doing things that full sinners wouldn't even do. The Bible says that King Saul was angry at David, a corrupt leader, following a satanic vendetta against a man, an anointed man of God, who, in the words of Samuel, was a better man than him, a worshiper of God who would fulfill what the Bible describes as all my will. Not a portion of my will, but all my will. And so when he finds out that the high priest has helped David, he goes with his men of war and he goes in to the house of God and he questions the man of God. Why did you help him? Didn't you know? Of course he knew. He helped the man of God anyway. And so when Saul realizes what has happened, he turns to his soldiers and says, fall upon them and kill them. Kill them all. And the men of God, sons of Israel, looked at Saul and said, Saul, you're the king, but there's a king of kings.
Yeah.
And what you're doing would violate the word of God. We were raised in the school of Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. We were raised in the school that we would bind this upon our hearts and it would be as frontlets between our eyes and it would be a sign upon our hand. We put it on the doorposts of our house. We cannot kill these men. They taught us in Sunday school. I'll never lift my hand against a preacher. I will not talk bad about God's leadership. I might have some problems. We might have some personality conflicts, but I won't lift my hand against a man of God. And the sons of God looked back at that wicked king and said, we will have no part in it. But you know who will? Doeg the
Edomite
stepped out and said, I'll do it. I got no problem cutting down the man of God. Esau's boy said, it's no big thing for me to murder a preacher. I'll take that sword. I'll run them through. I'll cut their throat. I'll do it all in the name of God. I'll do it with the authority of a crooked king. But I'll legitimize that king because I'm an Edomite. This runs in our blood. I know enough to know they're men of God. But I don't care enough to stop. I'm telling you that the Edomite, the half-child of God, has no problem running down a preacher. They'll take them home and put them on the grill.
They'll have them for breakfast, lunch, and dinner. They'll talk about them. They'll talk about their wives. They'll talk about their kids. They will tear them apart. And then they will sit back and say, what? What have I done? Let me tell you something about Esau. The Bible describes Esau. Esau was not a man of God. He was a man of the field. The Bible says he was a hunter. Let me tell you something about Edomites. They are predators. Jacob wasn't a predator. He was a shepherd. He was one who took the sheep. He was one who watched over the sheep. He was one who protected. He was one who kept. He was an under-shepherd under the chief shepherd. And he did what God called him to do. But not Esau. Esau was a hunter. He was one who went out and stalked. He was one comfortable with violence. I'm telling you, there are people who are predators that have walked in their flesh, that have no problem living in sin and walking among God's children. These are... The modern day predators don't carry hunters and bows. They're not hunters that carry bows and arrows and spears. They're people who will walk among a youth group and have no problem living in fornication. They're the predators who look for the innocent. They're the predators who look for the godly and look to wreck homes and look to wreck marriages. And they're going to slip and they can hide from a preacher better than anybody, because this is not a regular predator. This is an apostolic predator. I'm talking about Esau's boys. I'm talking about the half Abrahamic. I'm talking about children that are born out of rebellion to God's purpose. Can I have a couple more minutes? Out of the union of Lot's kids came a boy named Moab. You might not know Moab a whole lot, but I can certainly talk to you about his children. It was a man by the name of Balak who stepped out to a man that was called of God, spoke to God, and corrupted him with the promise of money. And said, curse me, God's people. Now, this is one cousin cursing another cousin. This was somebody that was so sick of those children of God who thought they were so self-righteous. Israel wouldn't have anything to do with the Moabites. The Bible said they dwelt apart. They were God's people. They would not be reckoned among the nations. And Balak said, from the top of the rocks, I see him. I see him blessed. How can I curse whom God has not cursed? I cannot touch the man of God and the people of God. Let me die the death of the righteous and let my last end be like his. He blessed the people of God because he knew what God had said, but it took a Moabite. It took a Moabite to corrupt the good things of God. Did you know that it's possible to sit back and laugh and corrupt preaching? Did you know it's possible to treat the things of God casually? Did you know it's possible to know God's people's weak spots? Later on, the scripture teaches that though Balak wouldn't curse him, he taught Balaam taught Balak how to make them stumble. He said, just send your young ladies among them. Let them dress immodestly. Let them dress sensually. You don't have to curse them. You can bring a curse on them if you can make them fall. And so into the midst of Israel came the Moabite children. And the Israelites, in their ignorance, intermarried and fell into sin and fell in love with sensual. You know, there's a difference between the sensual and the innocent. There's a difference between people who want attention from everybody and people who just want attention from God. There's a beauty to holiness. There's a beauty to purity. There's a beauty to a prayer life. There's a preciousness to somebody who can stand there with their hands raised and say, I don't care what anybody thinks. I just want the Holy Ghost to fill me tonight. I want to live for God with all of my heart. I'm going to lay aside deceit. I'm going to lay aside manipulation. I'm going to lay aside seduction. I'm not going to flaunt myself. I'm not going to play games. I don't want any of that. The Bible says that we renounce the hidden things of dishonesty. I'm not swishing when I walk. I'm not trying to. The Bible talks about the wicked. It says that the wicked and the froward, they wink with their eyes and they speak with their feet. And when the man of God holds them accountable, they say, what? Not me? No, I would never do that.
They know enough not to say it out loud. They know enough not to get caught. But they wink when the man turns his back. They send body language. They dress a certain way and dare you to say something about it. I'm talking about Moabite behavior. I'm talking about what happens when they walk in among the people of God. And through the corrupt alliance of Balak and Balaam, God's people developed a curse. And God cursed them because they fell into sin. I'm telling you that this is what happens when people don't get it all the way. My biggest problems have not come from sin in and of itself and the sinner. It has come from people who have backslid in their hearts and are right with God. Did you know that Balaam had the same chance as Moses had? Did you know that they were contemporary one with another?
Right.
Moses is up on a mountain getting a covenant from God and the laws of God. And Balak is over there trying to figure out a way to make God's people stumble. Both of them talk to God. Both of them speak to Him. Both of them have a connection. But one is in a Moabite environment and one is with the children of God. Listen to me, Apostolic Church. I want to tell you there's nothing like getting this thing all the way. There is nothing like running to an altar. There is nothing like praying daily. There is nothing like speaking with other tongues and letting the Holy Ghost fill you. There is nothing like listening and believing a preacher. There is nothing like serving the Lord. There is nothing like walking away from the ungodly. There is nothing like living the life the way it was meant to be lived. Stand with me tonight. I'm telling you that your genealogy has to go to Jesus. Well, I'm so-and-so's son, and I'm so-and-so's daughter, and I've been around a long time, but is Jesus in your lineage? Has He put His Spirit into your heart? Because what I see is a lot of tradition and a lot of flesh sometimes, and I've got to make sure I'm not one of those. In Isaac shall thy seed be called. In Isaac shall thy seed be called. Am I a child of Jesus Christ and is His Holy Ghost filling me up? Does my spirit reflect His Spirit? Do my eyes translate the innocence that comes from having recently prayed through? Or am I looking with calculated eyes to see what kind of an angle I can get? I'm talking about being a child of God. Hallelujah. Somebody lift your hands to heaven tonight.
Oh, God.
In Isaac. In Isaac. In Isaac. You're going to have to make your way through mockery. You're going to have to make your way through sarcasm. You're going to have to be shunned and cut off and made fun of. You're going to have to be all of that. That's what it means to be one of Isaac's children. That's what it means to be one of Jesus' children. Let me talk to the person that thinks they need to stoop to manipulation and sensuality and you gotta play the game. You have no better defense than the simple honesty of serving God. You have no better defense than to honestly walk with Him. Let His righteousness be your breastplate. Let His truth be girt about your loins. Let your hands be raised and carry a shield of faith. These are the best defenses you can have in this world. You don't have to live halfway for God. You can't live halfway for God. You'll fight the preacher. You'll fight the man of God. You'll fight your brother and sister. And you'll want them to validate you, but they can't. Because in Isaac shall thy seed be called. Is there anybody here that allow yourself to be renewed in the Holy Ghost tonight? Is there anybody that can lift your hands and say, I want to worship the way I did when I first got the Holy Ghost? I don't want to worship like an Ammonite. I don't want to worship like a Moabite. I don't want to worship like the carnal. I don't want to be a predator. I don't want all of these things that characterize the ungodly. I want to be a child of God. Oh, let's love Him right now. I feel the Holy Ghost in this house. I want you to step out of your seat and I want you to come down here with me. Step out of your seat and come with your hands raised and tell yourself, I'm going to serve Him with all of my heart. I'm going to worship Him. I'm going to worship
with
Him.
Your spirit,
I'm going to open my mouth. And I'm going to bless my Heavenly Father.
It's been so long since I...
Come on and lift your hands. Come on and open your heart. Well, I'm the great-grandson of so-and-so. And none of that matters.
Once more.
Are you a child of Jesus Christ? Are you a child of the Most High?
So at once more, your message moves me.
Oh, lift your heart. Open up your mouth. Somebody help me praise you.
With your spirit.
I want to be one of His children. You don't understand. I've got to stay with Abraham. I've got to stay with Abraham. I've got to keep my children close to the man of God. I've got to keep my family close to the people of God. I've got to put this doctrine in their hearts. Come on, watchman on the wall, wake up. Come on, shepherd of the house, wake up. How could you let your family around that influence? Don't you watch that. Don't you go there. Don't you listen to that. I'm telling you, you're planting things in your family that are going to bring forth something you can't control.
It's been so long.
Oh, I can handle it, preacher. I can handle it. It's not a big deal. What are you going to do when your children are infected with that? What are you going to do when your worship grows lukewarm? What are you going to do? Oh, lift your hands. Open your heart. Let the Holy Ghost touch you right now. Come on, young lady. I'm Abraham's daughter. The Bible said that when Moses came to years, he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. I am not a product of the world. I'm a product of Abraham. Oh, that's it. That's the Holy Ghost. That's the Holy Ghost. Let God put His good word down in your heart. Let God put His good spirit down in your heart. Esau's son. I don't want to be Moab's son. I want to be a son of God. To dress from the Moabites. I don't want to learn to act from the Ammonites. I don't want to learn how I talk from the Edomites. I'm a daughter. I'm a son of God. I'm a child of the Most High. Worship like an apostolic. Praise Him like an apostolic. Praise Him. Like a child of God. Hallelujah. Pour your heart out to Him. This is what made Abraham great. This is what made the men of God great. This is what got us here.
It's been so long since I've been broken with Him. Time.
Come on, young man. There's nothing like worshiping with all your heart. Lift your hands, lift your heart. Let the Holy Ghost move over you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I don't need the sarcasm of this world. I don't need the carnality. Let me find the prayer room. Let me find the Word of God. Let me hear the preaching.
Get the preachers right now. Amen. Keep playing right now. There's young men right here. There's young lady praying in these altars right now, crying in the unction of the Holy Ghost. I wonder if some preachers right now, amen, as you feel led, if you could start laying hands on some of these people in these altars. Amen. We've got time for a move of God tonight. Come on. I want the Holy Ghost to move us tonight. We need a touch in our hearts. Amen. Come on, you ought to pray with somebody. If you've got strength right now, reach over and pray somebody else through the Holy Ghost.
Let the Holy Ghost.